psychology allows the personality to detach itself from the illusion, and, therefore, to see it from a knowledgeable perspective, to see it in action. Just as, for example, an intelligence with a knowledge of modern medicine would be able to live among the populations of Europe during the time of the bubonic plague and not be affected by it, a personality with knowledge of the illusion and how it works is able to live within it and not be affected by it. Bubonic plague is transmitted by fleas on rodents. This is known now, but it was not known then. By keeping his or her environment clean, by avoiding all that attracts rodents, and by practicing personal hygiene, such a person could not only survive, but also keep others safe as well. When we experience fear, or anger, or jealousy, we are in an illusion that is designed to bring to awareness those parts of the soul that require healing. These things do not actually exist. That is why pursuing them does not bring power. What exists between souls is love, and that is all that exists. By understanding this, the personality is able to remain aware within the illusion, to accept consciously the healing that it offers, and to help others heal as well. The power of awareness and knowledge is identical in both situations. The illusion holds power over you when you are not able to remember that you are a powerful spirit that has taken on the physical experience for the purpose of learning. It has power over you when you are compelled by the wants and impulses and values of your personality. It holds power over you when you fear and hate and sorrow and fester in anger or strike out in rage. It has no power over you when you love, when compassion opens your heart to others, when your creativity flows unimpeded joyously into the present moment. In other words, the illusion has no power over a personality that is fully aligned with its soul. The illusion is governed by impersonal energy dynamics. It is shaped initially by the law of karma. The configuration of each personality, the unconscious intentions with which it is born, is determined by the karma of its soul. These intentions shape that personality's illusion, its reality within the Earth School, until they are replaced by other intentions, unconscious or conscious. If the reactions of the personality create additional karma for the soul, and if that karma cannot be balanced within the lifetime of the personality, that karma contributes to the shaping of another personality. And the intentions of that personality create its illusion, its reality within the Earth School, and so on. Even after a personality becomes conscious and aware of its illusion, and sets its intentions accordingly, the karmic obligations of its soul must still be met. Karma is karma. Energy is energy. The awakened personality understands this, and therefore does not respond to the experiences and the events of its life with anger, fear, sorrow, or jealousy, which would create additional negative karma for its soul, but with compassion and with trust that the universe, in each moment, is attending to the needs of its soul. This draws to it other souls with the same frequency of consciousness. Each personality draws to itself personalities with consciousnesses of like frequency or like weakness. The frequency of anger attracts the frequency of anger. The frequency of greed attracts greed, and so on. This is the law of attraction. Negativity attracts negativity, just as love attracts love. Therefore, the world of an angry person is filled with angry people. The world of a greedy person is filled with greedy people. And a loving person lives in a world of loving people. The law of attraction creates a cocoon, so to speak, of like energy around each personality so that as it seeks to heal its anger or its fear or its jealousy, the metamorphosis process into wholeness is intensified and accelerated, is brought to the center of the stage of awareness. The personality sees its anger or its fear not only within itself, but everywhere outside itself as well. If the personality chooses consciously to heal its anger or its fear, every circumstance, every encounter becomes irritating or fearful as the universe compassionately responds to its desire to become whole. As the anger or the fear within a personality builds, the world in which it lives increasingly reflects the anger or the fear that it must heal, so that eventually, ultimately, the personality will see that it is creating its own experiences and perceptions, that its righteous anger or justifiable fear originates within itself, and therefore can be replaced by other perceptions and experiences only through the force of its own being. Just as the frequency of anger evokes a like frequency in the consciousness of those around an angry personality, the frequency of love awakens also like responses. It is the intention that determines the effect. If what you offer to others is not sensitive, if it does not support and nourish, if it does not empower but disempowers them, it will be met with resistance at some level. And that resistance will be the counterpart of your energy that seeks to disempower or to control. Separation and distance are always the result of the pursuit of external power. Within this impersonal framework operate the dynamics of temptation and responsible choice. The human emotional system can be broken down into roughly two elements, fear and love. Love is of the soul. Fear is of the personality. The illusion of each personality is generated by and sustained by the emotions that follow fear, such as anger, rage, vengefulness, hatred, jealousy or envy, loneliness, spite, sorrow, despair, grief, regret, greed, lust, arrogance, alienation, self-pity, lethargy, guilt, resentment, and feelings of inferiority and superiority. Emotions such as these lead to corresponding behaviors, such as selfishness, toward people and animals and the earth and the kingdoms of the earth, and using others in the many ways that humans use one another, commercially, sexually, emotionally, and lying, manipulation, violence, brutality, impatience, ridicule, and judgment. When the personality is unconscious, every emotion of fear, or that follows fear, produces a negative behavior, a behavior that creates negative karma for its soul. Each of the emotions that follows fear can cause any of the behaviors that are based upon fear. Jealousy, for example, can result in lying or in ridicule, which are forms of manipulation, or in violence. Greed can result in impatience, which is a form of selfishness, or judging, or using others. If you are unconscious of the part of yourself that is angry, for example, if you are unaware of yourself as a splintered personality, you will enact the anger of that part of yourself without thinking. You will strike out, or withdraw, or ridicule, or in some way express your anger. Your anger will spill out of your private energy sphere and into the collective energy of those around you, creating negative karma. As you encounter the results of your own anger, as they come back to you through the laws of karma and attraction, you, or another of your soul's personalities, eventually will learn to create differently. And so on for each of the negative emotions that follows fear. Behind fear is powerlessness. As you reach outward to fill the places within you that are empty of power, you learn, one by one, that those places cannot be filled in this way. Eventually, whether in this lifetime or after a thousand lifetimes, you will turn toward authentic power. This is the unconscious way of learning. It is learning through the experiences that are created by the unconscious parts of the personality, and through the experiences that are created by unconscious responses to those experiences. If a personality is aware of its splintered state, if it is aware not only of the aspect of itself that is angry and demands vengeance, for example, but also of the aspect of itself that is compassionate and understanding, it benefits from the dynamic of temptation. It is able to preview the consequences of identifying with the frequency of energy that is anger that is running through its system, to look them over in advance of living them. and to decide whether they are worth expressing the anger that it feels. It is able to foresee, through its decision to foresee, how expressing the current of anger in that moment will affect itself and the people around it, and also the effects of expressing understanding and compassion. The unconscious personality is not aware in the moment of its anger or its rage that there are aspects of itself that would prefer to respond with compassion and understanding, but it would recognize them if it could see clearly in that moment. What of the parts of itself that suffer the loneliness and alienation that result from expressing anger? The parts that long for warmth and companionship, for relationships of a depth and quality that are not possible to those who live in anger or fear or jealousy. If the personality that is tempted decides to align itself with love, with clarity, understanding, and compassion, it gains power. The impulse towards anger or resentment or vengeance loses power over it, and in this way, step by step, conscious decision by conscious decision, it becomes truly powerful. If it decides to remain unconscious, to avoid responsibility for its actions, it allows negative currents of energy to form its words and shape its actions. This results in negative behavior, and this results in negative karma. What does this mean in terms of the illusion? Negative behavior produces within others and within oneself negative emotions and, therefore, more opportunities to gain power through responsible choice or to create negative karma. Negative karma means that the personality that chooses negative behavior will experience that same negative behavior from another personality and, again, be given the opportunity to decide to release or continue that mode of learning. This is the illusion. It is an illusion because you and the other souls that are involved have agreed, in compassion and wisdom, to participate in the learning dynamics of the Earth School in order to heal. It is illusion because within non-physical reality, neither space nor time, nor anger nor jealousy nor fear exist. It is an illusion because when you return home, it will cease to be. Therefore, how are you to judge a soul that is involved in this learning process? By what step or steps do you abstract and say, this is wrong, that is worthy, here she has succeeded, and here he has not? You cannot judge the learnings of a soul on the basis of how that learning takes place without creating negative karma. In other words, a soul is capable of being examined in process. Just as you can ask yourself, where does my anger come from? And realize that it springs from a multitude of dynamics, some of which were set into motion centuries ago, or longer, and that are only now coming to completion. That it is a current of energy within you that you are seeking to release in order to heal your soul and balance your karmic energy. You cannot try another as if you were a judge in a court for a single angry experience. Rather, you would have to see clearly that there is a process unfolding, and add to that the factor of karma. You can only judge that the soul is involved by its own will in a process of healing, and that it is evolving, as are you, and as is the rest of the universe. This is non-judgmental justice. It is justice that does not judge the process of the soul's evolution, except that it recognizes with love that the soul is reaching for love. It is not the way of the universe to look through the eyes of right and wrong, and failure or success. How do you know what success is? Can you see in fullness the causes and effects of your being, and of your acts and of your words? Therefore, how do you know what success is? And how can you possibly imagine what failure is? What is failure but a cause and effect? What we call failure is simply a cause and its effect, simply the process of cause and effect in action. It is wise to imagine the dynamics that we think of as failure and success as not truly existing, because they do not, not from the position of truth, only from the position of judgment. How can you say what within the illusion is worthy and what is not? Unworthiness is the judgment of not being perfected, but look around you. Do you see perfection completed by each human being, except that they are, in their own process, perfect and worthy? It is the process that is worthy and perfect at all times, and in that you complete the task fully. How is it possible to know what to pursue within the illusion, and what not to pursue? Ask yourself, what is the difference between your essential needs and your adopted needs? Or perhaps another term might be artificial needs. What are your genuine needs? And what are the needs that you have created for other reasons? To control, or to maneuver others, or to gain attention. Distinguish these in your mind. Know yourself deeply and clearly enough to recognize what is a legitimate need of you as a human being, and of you as that part of yourself that has created needs for certain other reasons, such as to gain external notice, or prestige, or to become a distinguishable individual. Learn to identify these, and then choose which you wish to live with. For example, is your irritation at your neighbor's noise a result of a genuine need that is going unmet, or a created need? Does your annoyance with the sounds that the garbage truck makes, or your desire to have the clerk at the grocery store treat you politely, reflect an essential need or an artificial need? Learn to distinguish your real needs, what you truly need as a human being and a soul, from the needs that you have adopted for reasons that are based on external power and do not emerge from the needs of your soul. Once you get a clear sense of that, you can begin to separate yourself from your artificial self, and then you are in a position to choose clearly how you wish to respond, and to hold yourself accountable when you allow your artificial needs to take over. Authentic needs belong to the soul. You need, for example, to love and to be loved. You need to express your creativity, whether that is in raising a family or leading a country. You need to cultivate your spirit, to work consciously at aligning your personality with your soul. You need to be counseled with the impersonal wisdom of your non-physical teachers and the guidance of your non-physical guides. These are some of your authentic needs. Non-authentic needs belong to the personality. They are what you adopt in your physical life in order to maneuver the space you claim and walk in upon the earth. Artificial needs are the needs from which negative karma is incurred. As you reach to fulfill these needs without letting them go and bending and flowing, as you determine to have them satisfied or to use them, you can gain great negative karma. A non-authentic need is a barrier. Neither nations nor individuals need as much as they have. They are artificial barriers, and the purpose behind their formation is the accumulation of external power. The secondary gain, so to speak, behind the creation of artificial needs is artificial power. Look clearly, and you will see it everywhere. In marriages, in international relations, in every conflict. It is not possible for you to experience the complete emergence of your soul when you are clouded over by artificial needs. When that happens, all you can see are artificial needs, and you see them as being ever so important, ever so significant. But are they really? As you look at your not-as-authentic needs, can you see how they drain energy from you? So long as your priorities come from your lesser self, you cannot touch your higher self in a direct way. Authentic needs are the needs that are always met by the universe. The universe is that which supplies you with your authentic needs. You are always being given the opportunities to love and be loved, for example. Yet ask yourself how many times in your life you have squandered these opportunities. By learning to respond to your authentic needs, and by allowing your artificial ones to drop away as unnecessary defense mechanisms, you become more open and understanding and compassionate with others. There is a natural give and take in the course of every human life. Each human being has authentic and non-authentic needs, and that is where the natural grit for the flow between us comes from in the living environment. You begin to learn to give and take as you begin to work through an understanding of what your real needs are. and learn to compromise and give and transcend when it comes to needs of those parts of yourself that are not genuine or do not enhance your development. If you see clearly through your own authentic needs, you will see that what you are really feeling threatened by when you experience an artificial need is the loss of your power, and therefore, rather than being able to address it directly, you create an artificial need that does the speaking for you. Learn to address the real need, so that you do not have to burden yourself with behavioral patterns that are not true to your own nature, that cloud you, that give you some artificial persona that you have to live up to. Begin by truly watching your own needs in action, where they are real and where they are not, and where they are not, expect to experience a negative emotion. Work on becoming one step detached from that feeling so that you are no longer blinded by it or unaware that you are feeling it. Become a step away so that you can let it begin to work its way through you without penetrating as deeply as it does in terms of creating action and negative thoughts and emotional withdrawals and all the other reactions it creates within you. Become one step detached from it, and every time that you are able to see it, you will become more and more and more detached. You will begin to be able to see the illusion in motion, and that is a part of authentic power. Chapter 15. Power. What is the nature of power? What does it mean to be a truly powerful human being? Power is not the ability to exert your will upon another person. There is no inner security in that kind of power. That is an attribute of time, and as time changes, that changes too. Do you have a strong body that others cannot challenge? That will change. What will you do then? Do you have a physical beauty that can be used to influence others? That will change. What will you do then? Do you have a cleverness that maneuvers others? What happens when you are too tired to use it, or you miss the opportunity? If you are not at home in the world, you live in the fear of one who can never truly relax and enjoy life. Is this power? There is no power in fear, or in any of the activities that are generated by fear. There is no power in a thought form of fear, even if it is supported by armies. The armies of Rome disappeared more than a millennia ago. But the force of the life of a single human that Roman soldiers put to death continues to shape the development of our species. Who had the power? You are only as powerful as that for which you stand. Do you stand for more money in the bank and a bigger house? Do you stand for an attractive mate? Do you stand for imposing your way of thinking upon others? These are the stands of the personality seeking to satisfy its wants. Do you stand for perfection, for the beauty and compassion of each soul? Do you stand for the power of love and the clarity of wisdom? Do you stand for forgiveness and humbleness? These are the stands of the personality that has aligned itself with its soul. This is the position of a truly powerful personality. Power is energy that is formed by the intentions of the soul. It is light shaped by the intentions of love, and compassion guided by wisdom. It is energy that is focused and directed toward the fulfillment of the task of the soul upon the earth, and the development of the personality as a physical instrument of the soul that is appropriate to those tasks. It is the force that shapes the illusion into the images of the souls that are creating it, and not those of their personalities. What does this mean? There is a continual energy exchange between souls. This exchange is splintered when the personality is splintered. Energy, power, leaves a splintered personality through each of its different parts. If one part of you fears the loss of your job, and another fears the loss of a relationship, and another dreads confrontation with an unpleasant coworker, power flows from you without your conscious control. This is how the energy dynamics of an unempowered personality work. When energy leaves you in fear or distrust, it cannot bring you anything but discomfort or pain. When energy flows from your system in fear or distrust, You experience a physical feeling of pain or discomfort in the part of your body that is associated with a particular energy center that is losing power. When you fear for your ability to protect and care for yourself in the world, to pay your rent, for example, or to keep yourself safe from physical or emotional harm, when you see power as external and you feel that you do not have enough of it to ensure your well-being or your safety, you experience discomfort or pain in the area of your stomach, in the area of your solar plexus. What we call anxiety is the experience of power leaving through the energy center that is located in this area of the body. An anxiety attack is a massive loss of power from your system through that energy center. Power losses affect the surrounding parts of the body. Power loss through this center, for example, can cause indigestion. If it is chronic or acute, it can ulcerate the stomach. When you fear that your ability to love or to be loved is threatened, when you fear, for example, expressing your own love or receiving love from another, you experience physical discomfort or pain in the region of your chest, near your heart. What we experience, literally, as heartache, is the experience of power leaving in fear or distrust through this energy center. Have you lost a mate, or a child, or someone very dear to you? Sort through your experience. Determine what it is that you felt. You will discover that your body hurt, that you were in pain in the vicinity of your chest. That is the experience of power leaving you through that energy center. That is what a heartache is, the loss of power through your heart center. Chronic or acute loss of power through the heart center results, literally, in an attack of the heart. There is more to myocardial infarction, to heart attack, than cholesterol in the blood and other conditions of the physical system. Every distress and every dysfunction of the physical body, every illness, can be understood in terms of power loss to an external circumstance or object through one of several energy centers within the body. You lose power when you rage against an injustice. You lose power when you are threatened by another person or other people. You lose power when you distance yourself from your fellow humans out of resentment or bitterness or a sense of disappointment or unworthiness or superiority. You lose power when you long for something or someone, when you grieve, and when you envy another. Beneath all of these is fear. Fear that you are vulnerable, that you are not able to cope without the person or the situation that you miss, that you are at a disadvantage without that which you envy. You lose power whenever you fear. That is what a loss of power is. You do not stop losing power by refusing to recognize your fear, by anesthetizing yourself to what you feel. The road to authentic power is always through what you feel, through your heart. The way of the heart is one of compassion and emotional perception. Therefore, it is never appropriate to suppress an emotion or to disregard what you feel. If you do not know what you feel, you cannot come to know the splintered nature of your personality and to challenge those aspects and those energies that do not serve your development. By remaining in your power, you do not become a static energy system, one that hoards energy to itself. You become a stable energy system, capable of conscious acts of focus and intention. You become a magnet for those who are illumined and those who want to be. At issue is the manner in which energy flows from you. When energy leaves you in any way except in strength and trust, it cannot bring back to you anything but pain and discomfort. An authentically empowered human being, therefore, is a human being that does not release its energy except in love and trust. What are the characteristics of an authentically empowered human being? An authentically empowered person is humble. This does not mean the false humility of one who stoops to be with those who are below him or her. It is the inclusiveness of one who responds to the beauty of each soul, who sees in each personality and in the actions of each personality the soul incarnate upon the earth. It is the harmlessness of one who treasures and honors and reveres life in all its forms. Are you concerned for the earth? It is the humble who have never harmed the earth. What does it mean to be harmless? It means to be so strong that you need not harm a creature. That is what it means. You are so able and empowered that the idea of showing power through harm is not even a part of your consciousness. Without genuine humility, you cannot have this kind of power, because power leaves you when you feel that the situation that you are in, or the people that you are with, do not command your respect. A humble spirit walks a familiar world. People are not strangers to it. They are its companions upon the earth. A humble spirit does not ask for more than it needs, and what it needs, the universe provides. A humble spirit is content with the fulfillment of its authentic needs, and is not burdened with artificial needs. Humble spirits are free to love and to be who they are. They have no artificial standards to live up to. They are not drawn to the symbols of external power. They do not compete for external power. This does not mean that they do not take pride in what they can do well, or that they do not focus their efforts to produce the best that they can, or are not spurred onward by their fellow humans when that is appropriate to the situation. To compete means to strive for something in company or together, to aim at something, to try to reach something, to seek after something with others. If the something that you aim for is prestige, or notice, or a gold medal instead of a tin medal, it is your personality that is motivating the competition. You are striving to empower yourself at the expense of others, to assert your superiority over another, or over other human beings. You are striving for external power. By striving for this reward or that reward, you ask the world to assess and acknowledge your value before you can value yourself. You place your sense of self-worth in the hands of others. You have no power, even if you win every gold medal that the world can produce. If what you seek is the joy of giving without reservation, of giving with purpose and joy and consciousness all that you have to the effort that you and other souls are creating jointly, your competition is the expression of your soul. When the effort that finishes last in time has the same value as the effort that finishes first, when the quality of the immortal, timeless soul is honored instead of the time-bound personality and body, when your giving is not impeded by fear of vulnerability, when the size or color or shape of what you receive or do not receive does not matter, you will know the power of a humble spirit. An authentically empowered person is one who forgives. Forgiveness is not a moral issue. It is an energy dynamic. When most people forgive, they do not want those that they forgave to forget that they forgave and forgot. This kind of forgiveness manipulates the person who is forgiven. It is not forgiveness. It is a means of acquiring external power over another. Forgiveness means that you do not carry the baggage of an experience. When you choose not to forgive, the experience that you do not forgive sticks with you. When you choose not to forgive, it is like agreeing to wear dark, gruesome sunglasses that distort everything, and it is you who are forced every day to look at life through those contaminated lenses because you have chosen to keep them. You wish everyone else to see the world that way because you wish to see the world that way, and it is indeed the world that you are looking at. But it is only you who sees it. You are looking through the lens of your own contaminated love. Forgiveness means that you do not hold others responsible for your experiences. If you do not hold yourself accountable for what you experience, you will hold someone else accountable. And if you are not satisfied with what you experience, you will seek to change it by manipulating that person. Complaining, for example, is exactly that dynamic of wanting someone to be responsible for what you experience and to fix things for you. Complaining is a form of manipulation, but you are free to move beyond that into the next step, which is perception and sharing without manipulation. What is at stake is not your sharing, but the intention behind it. When complaining is used instead of sharing, that is what becomes negative, but not the sharing. It is how you cast the sharing, or shape it before. The intention with which you share. Before you share, ask yourself, what is my intention in sharing this? Am I looking for a particular response? Use this as a way of centering your attitude before committing energy to words. When you assume responsibility for what you experience and share what you experience in a spirit of companionship, that is the same as forgiveness. When you hold someone responsible for what you experience, you lose power. You cannot know what another person will do. Therefore, when you depend upon another person for the experiences that you think are necessary to your well-being, you live continually in the fear that they will not deliver. The perception that someone else is responsible for what you experience underlies the idea that forgiveness is something that one person does for another. How can you forgive another person for the fact that you have chosen to step out of your power? When you forgive, you release critical judgment of yourself as well as others. You lighten up. You do not cling to negative experiences that resulted from decisions you made while you were learning. That is regret. Regret is the double negativity of clinging to negativity. You lose power when you regret. If one person grieves at his or her experiences while another is able to laugh, who is the lighter? Which is harmless? The heart that dances is the innocent heart. The one that cannot laugh is burdened. It is the dancing heart that is harmless. This does not mean that you do not learn from what you have experienced and apply that in each moment as you make your decisions. That is responsible choice. If you are doing all that you can to the fullest of your ability as well as you can, there is nothing else that is asked of a soul. An authentically empowered human being is clear in his or her perceptions and thinking. Clarity is the perception of wisdom. It is seeing with wisdom. It is being able to perceive and understand the illusion and to let it play. It is being able to see beyond the activities of the personality to the force of the immortal soul. It is being able to understand what it is that is striving to come into being. The health and integration of the personality and the evolution of the soul. It is the ability to recognize non-physical dynamics as they appear within the world of time and matter. It is understanding the laws of karma and attraction and their relationship to what you experience. It is being able to see the role of responsible choice and choosing accordingly in each moment. Clarity is the ability to see the soul in action in the physical world. It results from choosing to learn through wisdom instead of through fear and doubt. Clarity allows you to experience your fellow humans with compassion instead of with judgment. Can you not see the karma that another is creating for himself or herself by choosing the currents of anger or greed? Have you not made the same choices yourself? Have you not felt vulnerable? Have you not struck out at others? Clarity brings forth true compassion. The sharing of passion with others. It allows the energy of the heart to flow. Clarity turns pain into suffering. It sees the dynamic of the personality that is the cause of the pain and the relationship of that dynamic and that experience to the evolution of the soul. It is the perception in each moment that everything is designed for wholeness and perfection, and every aspect serves ultimately a beautiful learning. An authentically empowered personality sees the perfection of each situation and each experience for the evolution of each soul and the maturation of each personality involved. It sees perfection in the smallest details everywhere. Wherever it looks, it sees the hand of God. Clarity evaporates fear. It allows you to choose the vertical path and to stay on it. It allows you to understand the dynamics beneath your addictions, what your addictions serve, and how they operate, and to make the choices that will disempower them and empower you. It allows you to challenge not merely a force that you do not understand, such as attraction to alcohol or a drug or indiscriminate sex, but a dynamic that you understand in terms of its causes and its effects. It allows you to choose consciously and to know why you are choosing as you do. Clarity allows you to see the world of physical matter for what it is, a learning environment that is created jointly by the intentions of the souls that share it. Therefore, it allows you to recognize the effects of the intentions that shape the personal reality of each human at work at levels of reality that are created jointly. It allows you to see, for example, the extent to which relationships between nations have been shaped by the energy of the personality, and the extent to which they have been shaped by the energy of the soul, and to recognize that the energy of the soul is entirely lacking at this level and at most others. Clarity allows you to see that the decision-making process within the human condition is linked to the evolution of others, and in what way? It allows you to see that you participate in the evolution of joint energy dynamics, such as the archetypes, the collective human ideas, of sacred partnership, male, female, wife, and priest, through the decisions that you make. It allows you to see that your contribution to the evolution of your soul is precisely the decisions that you make at each moment, and that those decisions are embodied in the physical reality that you share with your fellow humans. An authentically empowered person lives in love. Love is the energy of the soul. Love is what heals the personality. There is nothing that cannot be healed by love. There is nothing but love. Love is not a passive state. It is an active force. It is the force of the soul. Love does more than bring peace where there is conflict. It brings a different way of being in the world. It brings harmony and an active interest in the well-being of others. It brings concern and care. It brings light with a capital L. It washes away the concerns of the personality. In the light of love, there is only love. There is a relationship between love and power and the transformation of the quality of experiences that occur within the Earth School as a whole. The type of power that you are trying to transform in yourself is the type of power that needs to be transformed in general upon the Earth. There are numerous human beings who are drawn to violence, violent fantasies, and violent acts. Most of these violent activities essentially center in the fact that the individual himself or herself feels powerless and victimized and, therefore, wants to live, for a brief period of time with one other human being, a sense of being empowered. But there is no genuine power to be found in that area. It is through the evolution of your own consciousness, through focusing on more and more empowered choices, that you create the distance that is necessary between you and your negative emotions, and heal yourself in such a way that violence no longer asserts itself. To heal violence, there must be love. Love is the energy of the soul, and therefore, the experience of giving and receiving love, of living a life of love, fulfills the personality. It is something that the personality continually reaches for. Reaching for love unconsciously can produce anger and fear. This happens when the personality does not see clearly what it is reaching for, which is the case with addiction. If you reach for an addictive sexual relationship, for example, you are reaching for love. It is the illusion that you think that you are reaching for something so manly or womanly. You are reaching for love, but you will not admit it and will not deal with it, and so there is anger within you because there is a level of energy and emotion that longs to be born but is never given an outlet. It is emotionally, spiritually impossible to have a sexual connection with a human being and not ignite certain emotional patterns, but they are a continual dead-end street when there is no relationship or true emotional feelings to go with the act. Therefore, there is a level of brutality, frustration, and eventually emotional disease which results in physical illness and breakdown because a significant pattern is being tremendously abused. Remember, you do get what you ask for. Asking for love is asking for the energy of the soul. It brings with it a genuine concern for the other. You cannot prey upon someone whose well-being is in your heart. When you seek to impose your intelligence or your way of seeing upon another, you are reaching for love. But you are rooting your reach, so to speak, through the wants of your personality. You are seeking external power. There is only emptiness there. When you seek to dominate another, you dominate no one, but disempower yourself. The less empowered you feel, the more you feel a need to control that which is external. The loving personality seeks not to control, but to nurture, not to dominate, but to empower. Love is the richness and fullness of your soul flowing through you. Humbleness, forgiveness, clarity, and love are the dynamics of freedom. They are the foundations of authentic power. Chapter 16. Trust. Each soul comes to the earth with gifts. A soul does not incarnate only to heal and to balance its energy, to pay its karmic debts, but also to contribute its specialness in specific ways. Each soul brings the particular configuration of the life force that it is to the needs of the Earth School. It does this with purpose and intention. Before it incarnates, each soul agrees to perform certain tasks upon the Earth. It enters into a sacred agreement with the universe to accomplish specific goals. It enters into this commitment in the fullness of its being. That is why when a soul succeeds in accomplishing its goal, in fulfilling what it has agreed to do, there is a richness and a specialness to the lifetime of that personality that is recognized and honored by its fellow souls, both physical and non-physical. Each soul takes upon itself a particular task. It may be the task of raising a family, or communicating ideas through writing, or transforming the consciousness of a community, such as the business community. It may be the task of awakening the awareness of the power of love at the level of nations, or even contributing directly to the evolution of consciousness on a global level. Whatever the task that your soul has agreed to, whatever its contract with the universe, all of the experiences of your life serve to awaken within you the memory of that contract and to prepare you to fulfill it. An unempowered personality cannot complete the task of its soul. It languishes in an inner sense of emptiness. It seeks to fill itself with external power, but that will not satisfy it. This sense of emptiness, or something missing, or of something wrong, cannot be healed by satisfying the wants of the personality. Gratifying needs that are based upon fear will not bring you to the touchstone of purpose. No matter how successful the personality becomes in accomplishing its goals, those goals will not be enough. Eventually, it will hunger for the energy of its soul. Only when the personality begins to walk the path that its soul has chosen will it satisfy its hunger. Authentic empowerment and the fulfillment of the soul's task upon the earth, therefore, are not separate dynamics. Authentic empowerment is necessary to accomplish fully the mission of the soul, yet as you move into authentic empowerment, you move toward the fulfillment of your soul's agreement with the universe, and as you move toward that fulfillment, as you move consciously toward the energy of your soul, you empower yourself. You and the work of your soul upon the earth expand together. As one grows and develops, so does the other. When a soul incarnates, its memory of the agreement that it has made with the universe becomes soft. It becomes dormant, awaiting the experiences that will activate it. These experiences are not necessarily experiences that the personality would choose. They are nonetheless necessary to the activation of the awareness of the power and the mission of the soul within the consciousness of the personality and to its preparation for that task. What does it feel like to remember your soul's task? When the deepest part of you becomes engaged in what you are doing, when your activities and actions become gratifying and purposeful, when what you do serves both yourself and others, when you do not tire within but seek the sweet satisfaction of your life and your work, you are doing what you were meant to be doing. The personality that is engaged in the work of its soul is buoyant. It is not burdened with negativity. It does not fear. It experiences purposefulness and meaning. It delights in its work and in others. It is fulfilled and fulfilling. Interactions with your parents, and with those with whom you have chosen to share your intimacy, and with those with whom, out of the billions of souls upon our planet, you share parts of your life, serve to activate within you an awareness of who you are and what you are here to do. The pains that you suffer, the lonelinesses that you encounter, the experiences that are disappointing or distressing, the addictions and seeming pitfalls of your life are each doorways to awareness. Each offers you an opportunity to see beyond the illusion that serves the balancing and growth of your soul. Within each experience of pain or negativity is the opportunity to challenge the perception that lies behind it, the fear that lies behind it, and to choose to learn with wisdom. The fear will not vanish immediately, but it will disintegrate as you work with courage. When fear ceases to scare you, it cannot stay. When you choose to learn through wisdom, to evolve consciously, your fears surface one at a time in order for you to exercise them with inner faith. That is how it happens. You exercise your own demons. Your guides and teachers continually offer you light. They encourage you in each moment to your fullest growth and development. Yet they cannot prevent you from your learning, or your growing, or your moving through your experiences and letting your experiences influence you. This is so even if you are able to communicate with them consciously and directly. Your experiences will move you right or left, and you will ask your teacher this question or that. If you move left, your question will be entirely different than if you had moved right, and the reality that you open by that question will be entirely different. There is no single optimal path for the soul. There are many optimal paths. With each choice, you immediately create numerous paths within a choice, one of which is then optimal. In other words, the optimal path of your soul is the choice of awareness, the vertical path. Once you have made that choice, then come the various forms of enactment. In what way, therefore, does non-physical guidance serve you? It is a partnership of challenging you to come to terms with the full width and breadth and depth of authentic power and responsible choice. It is not that you give permission to be mindlessly manipulated. It is that you give permission to be shown the fullest of your power and guided to its use. When you depend entirely upon the ability of your personality to determine what is best for you, you may stand in the way of a richness that is waiting for you. How do you know what the universe has waiting for you if you take off your restrictions? If you are determined to have your life unfold in a particular way and none other, if you have your heart set on using your creativity only to accumulate money, for example, consider that you build your entire reality around that. The universe cannot help you in the same way that it can if you are trusting of it, because it cannot overshadow nor penetrate your choice. Yet what if what you are doing is more appropriately regarded in a social sphere rather than an economic one? In other words, what if the enterprise that you seek to develop is more appropriately a way to an avenue that you have not yet recognized? It is now deadlocked because it cannot go down its appropriate path, for you have your hand on a door that you insist upon opening that will go nowhere. Can you see? Let go of what you think is just reward. Let go. Trust. Create. Be who you are. The rest is up to your non-physical teachers and the universe. Take your hands off the steering wheel. Be able to say to the universe, "Thy will be done," and to know it within your intentions. Spend time in this thought. Consider what it means to say, "Thy will be done," and allow your life to go into the hands of the universe completely. The final piece of reaching for authentic power is releasing your own to a higher form of wisdom. Long before we, as a species, became aware that there is such a dimension as the realm of non-physical guidance and teachers, each human being was guided, and beautifully, by many non-physical teachers. Even though unseen by us, this guidance happens nonetheless in its perfection and in its balance. That is what is happening now. It is just that for the first time, as we become multisensory, we are aware of it and can put names with non-physical teachers and have a sense of personal relationship with them. Yet still it is that what you experience is always appropriate and will always move toward the greatest wisdom of your development and guidance. Remind yourself that you are supported, that you are not going it alone upon this earth. Dwell in the company of your non-physical teachers and guides. Do not discriminate in terms of what you can and should ask and speak about. Just assume and live in the beauty of the bond. Do not fear dependency. What is wrong with being dependent upon the universe, whether that is your teachers or divine intelligence? You do what you do for yourself, and the universe and your non-physical teachers and guides are there in assistance. They will never do it for you. It is not possible for them to do it for you. Delight in the dependency. Give your guides and teachers permission to come closer. When you ask for guidance and assistance, simply assume that it is immediately pouring forward. You may need to work a while to relax your mind into receptivity, or you may need to have lunch, or drive into town, or do whatever it is you need to do in order to relax your mind to hear or to feel, but live in the total assumption that the moment you ask for guidance, it is pouring in. Try looking at life as a beautifully well-organized dynamic. Trust the universe. Trusting means that the circumstance you are in is working toward your best and most appropriate end. There is no when to that. There is no if to that. It is. Release your specifications and say to the universe, "Find me where you know I need to be." Let them go and trust that the universe will provide, and so it shall. Let go of all. Let your higher self complete its task. Allow yourself to pray. Just as the many times human beings find themselves in circumstances where the hurt or the pain is so great that on their own power they cannot forgive, it is enough that they pray to be given the grace, the perception, the elevated light that will allow them to forgive. It is impossible for you to come full circle in this way of empowerment without prayer. It is not enough to want, or to intend, or to meditate. You must pray. You must talk. You must ask. You must believe. That is partnership. Think of what you are doing as entering into partnership with divine intelligence, a partnership in which you begin to share your concerns with the understanding that there is an intelligence receptive to what you are saying, that helps you create within your own environment of matter and energy the most effective dynamics to bring you into wholeness. You do not need to think that you create alone, but rather that you are guided strongly in ways to help co-create in the most effective way for your healing and for the fulfillment of your contract. Consider your intentions and your meditations as part of what is done within the context of prayer. Be able to say within your intentions and your meditations, "And I ask for guidance or help," and expect to get it. Expect to get it. Aside from your level of the responsible choice of energy and how you form that into matter, the dependency on prayer assists you in pulling to yourself and invoking grace. Prayer is moving into a personal relationship with divine intelligence. It is impossible to have a prayer without power. It is impossible to have a thought that is secret, for all energy is heard. When you pray, you draw to you and invoke grace. Grace is uncontaminated conscious light. It is divinity. Prayer brings grace, and grace calms you. That is the cycle. Grace is the tranquilizer of the soul. With grace comes a knowing that what you are experiencing is necessary. It calms you with a sense of knowing. Relax into the present moment. Do what you need to do in the present moment. Yours is not to worry about that which we call the future. That does not mean that you do not consider the consequences of each of your choices.